Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Will Haney, the founder and CEO of Pelacoin Bitcoin Kiosk. Pelacoin is the Gulf South's largest cryptocurrency kiosk company. And Mr. Haney, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to be here.
And a very interesting business that you have there through Pelacoin. Looking forward to hearing all the details. So tell us, for starters, what's the layman's definition of cryptocurrency and blockchain to get things underway today?
So this is a really loaded question. This alone we could probably spend hours talking about, but speaking in layman's terms, cryptocurrency is to blockchain like the World Wide Web is to the internet. There's tons of applications for the blockchain, but cryptocurrency is kind of the most prominent. It's what everyone associates with. Just when they hear the word blockchain, they're already thinking of cryptocurrencies, bitcoins, things like that. But there's tons of applications. Let's start with crypto, and then we'll move on to blockchain. There's nearly 3,000 cryptocurrencies out there now, which really surprises a lot of people. A lot of those were born in the ICO boom last year. People were just kind of – it was a gold rush, and everyone was kind of, planting their flag and claiming some new cryptocurrency, multiple cryptocurrencies a week. But the main ones by market cap that you hear about the most, you're talking about Bitcoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin. These make up the vast majority of the market cap in the cryptocurrency space. Bitcoin alone is 68, around 70% of market dominance, meaning that, of the $275 billion changing hands in this space, Bitcoin accounts for nearly 70% of it. But zooming back out to crypto in general, it's not physical money, which a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their heads around. But it exists purely in the digital space. And when you think about it, a lot of, your cash, your US dollars that you have is also digital. It's on your online banking. It's on your credit card statement. It's just a bunch of ones and zeros that you trust. Is there, and you trust it because, the government, your bank, your credit card company is, for 1,000 years we've been using paper money, and you depend on the government and the banks to audit that and debit and credit your account accordingly. And you trust them to take care of it. It's all centralized. But with cryptocurrency, the vast majority of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, it's all decentralized. So, in other words, you have a whole network that's keeping up with your value, and what gives that network value is that it's continuously audited. People are always, miners. It's without getting too into the weed. What miners are doing, they're constantly auditing and building the blockchain for all of the users. And because it's constantly being audited, again, going back to Bitcoin as an example, you need three confirmations from miners to process a transaction. If there was a bad actor who was somehow trying to spam the network and trying to, hack it, push through a transaction that was fraudulent, it's pretty much impossible to do it through one computer, through one node on the network, but it's definitely impossible to do it through three. So what gives a lot of these cryptocurrencies and these blockchain technologies a lot of value is just the immutability of the network, the security of the network. If there is a bad actor, there's really no way for them to change your balance, so to speak.
Certainly an interesting topic and a growing market, no doubt about that. Now, how does one normally buy cryptocurrency? Talk to us about that for those that aren't so familiar.
Sure. It could potentially be a pretty broad question to cover, but for the most part, I would say there's you could break it down into four categories. There's exchanges. Most Americans listening to this, you're going to think of Coinbase, Gemini, Kraken. Those are the big exchanges in America. But there's over 500 worldwide. I mean, you know, some of the bigger ones are starting to get, in my opinion, a little bloated. You know, Coinbase, they almost keep us in business in that, you know, if you go out and create an account with Coinbase today, it could take, 1-2 weeks for your account to be verified. You're sending in all of your personal information. Their turnaround time, because they have so many active users, is slow. And then even once you get your account, you might be bound by, what we call KYC tiers, to where if they don't have certain information from you, you might only be able to trade, $500 or some certain amount a day. And then the second tier, you have peer-to-peer exchanges. Now, these are starting to creep up on your fees. You're starting to have, maybe 3-4% fees to buy Bitcoin or cryptocurrency directly from another individual. What the real big issue with the peer-to-peer exchanges in, a good example is Local Bitcoins for anyone who's familiar with the space, but there's just a lot of scams on there. There's a lot of bad actors who are trying to trick people into, sending them wire transfers, doing things for Bitcoin. And even though a lot of these services have an escrow account to protect you, people do get scammed. And so, it's something that people are moving away from more and more. ATMs, that's what we do. We basically, just like a traditional ATM, is a physical kiosk that we try to put out there in high volume spaces and make them convenient and easy for our customers to use. We do all the same KYC stuff that an exchange does, but we do it on the back end a lot. On your first trip, it might take 3 minutes to do your first transaction. So I mean, we're doing it a whole lot faster than maybe, the at least 3-4 days up to maybe 2-3 weeks that an exchange processes it. And what we're seeing a lot more of, kind of the newest category, is tellers. People trying to integrate, cryptocurrency sales into existing systems. Any money service business out there that's handling cash a lot, it's pretty easy for them to fold in, a cryptocurrency sales point to their store and minimize their overhead in doing so. I mean, with the machines, we're buying $5,000 to $10,000 pieces of equipment. We're paying the stores, we're paying developers, we're paying for 4G antennas, we're paying for armored truck service. Some people think our fees are high, but if we can get out of there with a 5-7% fee, we're really operating on pretty thin margins. So we're trying to just make it as easy as possible for customers to get cryptocurrency as quickly as possible.
Some good information right there, and most helpful for sure. Today, we're speaking with Will Haney, the founder and CEO of Pelicoin Bitcoin Kiosk, the Gulf South's largest cryptocurrency kiosk company, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, if you would, get into the benefits of buying from a cryptocurrency ATM, and are they secure, and how does a Pelicoin ATM actually work?
They are secure. So really, it's you're interacting. It's almost like asking if a traditional ATM is secure. I mean, you're doing a one-on-one transaction with the machine that doesn't involve any, there's no other party that's manually interacting, that exposing human error to the formula. But essentially, you walk into the store. The machines are super user-friendly and kind of walk you through step-by-step. But the home page says buy coins. You click that. It's going to ask you to do an SMS verification where you enter your phone number, and the machine sends you a little code into the machine. It asks you, what tier, what dollar amount you're going to be transacting. And then it asks you if you want to, we personally do Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum at our kiosk, but different operators offer different cryptocurrencies. Most everyone offers Bitcoin. But it asks you how you want to receive that cryptocurrency. You can either, scan your Bitcoin wallet's QR code, you can manually enter the alphanumeric wallet address, or you could even create a paper wallet, which, again, it could be getting, going down the rabbit hole talking about paper wallets, but essentially it's just a way to keep your Bitcoin very securely offline, to where you're not exposed to, an exchange that might get hacked, or a wallet that you're, depending on the developers in the back end, if you're not holding your private keys, holding a paper wallet is probably the most secure way to store your Bitcoin.
Always an interesting question as we look ahead. Where do you see the future of cryptocurrency going, let's say, in 3 to 5 years from now?
That's a good question. I think that, first, I'll touch down on probably one of the more interesting points. I think that the way that the U.S. government accounts for, you know, M1 cash supply, they're going out, they're literally taking a sample of paper money and counting serial numbers. So, I mean, you know, we're spending millions of dollars auditing our own cash supply and making sure we have the correct amount, and then printing more cash, you know, if we think we don't. And in some cases, we're just printing more cash anyways, just, you know, we're depending on the Fed to be responsible with that. And in cryptocurrency in general, it's probably the hardest sell here in the United States. I mean, you know, if you're talking to someone in Argentina whose government has collapsed their currency, you know, on the brink of three times now in the last three decades, or you have Venezuela, I mean, it's a really easy sell because the institutions that you're depending on to account for, you know, your money, they're not doing a very good job of it. But in America, where we do, you know, a much better job of it, it's a little bit harder sell. But again, going back to this kind of crazy making thought of the U.S., you know, the Fed physically counting cash, I mean, it's ludicrous. So I think that it seems like the logical next step forward with the Fed would be to start to try to roll in some type of, you know, USD coin that eventually people will transact. I mean, it's also, when you look at the stats, I mean, paper dollars, especially US dollars, I mean, it's the preferred method of payment for criminals worldwide. So, I mean, you know, it's, if you can't account for where this cash is going, where it's coming from, you know, that's another issue for the Fed and for, you know, our country's security. So looking forward, I think, you know, the logical next step forward for the United States and probably most countries worldwide are going to be start to move into digitizing their currencies. I mean, and will those be open source, open network cryptocurrencies? Probably not. But they will be digital and you know, just like everything else, we'll be moving more into, you know, digitizing our assets. But I mean, yeah, as far as Bitcoin, Ethereum going, you know, seeing how these things are all going to shake out, it's really anyone's guess. I personally think that Bitcoin, more and more, it just seems like it's becoming so dominant that it's just going to eat everything up. I mean, maybe Ethereum being as different as it is from Bitcoin and still having a very healthy market cap, you know, there's a lot of room for that to grow as well. I mean, you see things like I think Honduras is kind of having this problem like Zimbabwe had in the 90s where, you know, the government's just coming in and saying, hey, man, you know, this property that you're living on, this belongs to my cousin now. And they're kind of just taking property. Well, you know, people are starting to put their, you know, their chains of title, their deeds on the Ethereum blockchain through this Honduran application, and it's really interesting to see, like, you know, that's just one application that people are using the Ethereum blockchain and the Ethereum network for. So I mean, it's very different from Bitcoin, but you know, some of these other things, you know, you look a little further down at some of the smaller market cap things like Bitcoin Gold or you know, Qcoin, things like that, I just don't see those sticking around for the long haul. I mean, it's just I mean, and those are, you know, still top 100 coins. I mean, you look at something below the 1,000 cryptocurrency, top cryptocurrency marks, I mean, most of those are going to go the way of the dinosaur. So it you know, it will be interesting to see, but I think there's going to be a lot more aggregation in the next decade or so.
Always an interesting topic, and again, we thank you for the thorough coverage here on cryptocurrency and what you're doing in the space as well. I'm sure listeners want to know where they can get more information online on Pelacoin Bitcoin Kiosk and how they could be in touch. Where's the best place online to do so?
We're at just www.pelacoin.com. Our footprint, we are servicing kind of the Gulf South. We have machines in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, and Texas. And we're growing into a lot of our markets now, and we want to, you know, continue to service those markets. We also offer wire transfer trades for, you know, larger volume traders who get, you know, very, very competitive rates even by an exchange standpoint. So, yeah, if anyone, you know, wants to hook up with us or you know, reach out to us, I encourage that. We're always looking for opportunities.
And certainly do appreciate that invitation. Again, folks, it is pelacoin.com. Mr. Haney, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, and y'all have a good day.
And you all as well. We've been speaking with Will Haney, the founder and CEO of Pelacoin Bitcoin Kiosk, the Gulf South largest cryptocurrency kiosk company. And for all the details, again, visit Pelacoin.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.